And it's a tremendous blessing. I meant to be here much earlier, but for one reason or another, I didn't make it as early as I wanted to. I'd met my sister and her dear husband in Indianapolis when we gathered for the Southern Region gathering, and it was a blessing, a total blessing to be together. So it's my joy to worship with you this morning. And of course, you met my friend earlier. Anastasia was a member of our fellowship for many years. I think she gave her life to the Lord while she was attending with us, and I bless God for his goodness. Well, after the service, you can ask her about her testimony. Anastasia means resurrection, and we learned that in the practical sense. And I didn't know what her name meant until she came to us and then proceeded to go deadly ill. And the doctors were asking when I would visit her. They thought we were sisters. And they would ask me if I knew where she had been, if I knew what she ate, if I knew how life was, where she came from. And I had just met her. And they said she was not going to live. And I thank God. I left her in a coma and went to a Kenyan women's conference. And I told them I just left a friend who I haven't got to know very well, because after I was introduced to her, she was very sick. And the speaker at our conference happened to be named Anastasia. And so when they asked me, what's the name of your friend? I told them Anastasia. And they say that's when they told me the meaning of the name. And we bless the name of Jesus because by faith she is alive, she is walking, and she's here, she's serving the Lord. She lives in Fort Wayne now. So I feel like one of my chicks flew the coop. And I thank God that she got wings. Now she can fly and even drive herself to Fairhaven. You have a beautiful name for a church. And I bless the name of Jesus. My husband and I serve as missionaries at Morningstar. We are not much bigger than this congregation. But on Saturday, we have a larger congregation. We serve a meal on Saturdays. We have a food pantry and a clothes pantry. And we set the place at, you know, the reason the Lord led us to do this was we were asking, how do we reach our community? How do you reach, especially us coming from Kenya? All you need to do is stand at the street corner and start singing, and people will come join you. And people give their lives to the Lord. When you're in a bus or in a train or even in a bar, they'll be singing songs of praise. So it's not very hard to minister the gospel in our country because we grow up with the Word of God. And so when we came into this country thinking, now you're going to help us, you're going to train us to be missionaries, you're going to help us because you've heard the Word of God and you brought the Word of God to Kenya. You know, the British and the Americans did a lot to bring the Word of God to Kenya, among other nations. But I tell you, when we came here, we get really, really surprised that it is not, we thought we're going to find giants of the faith. And, excuse me, we're going to be empowered and sent out. And we found pockets of believers here and there that truly know who Jesus is. But most of the people don't know who Jesus is. There are people who are very, very religious, but don't know who the living Christ is. And so we kept praying for the community in which we live and saying, God, please send laborers here. Send laborers to preach the gospel here. And as we were praying, we were preparing that God would send us, when we were done with school, he would send us to some country far away. At that point, we had started guessing he very likely was not going to send us back to Kenya because there were so many people doing what we used to do in Kenya, witnessing everywhere. So as we are crying out to God, when we were done with school, we said, okay, we are ready to pack our suitcases. Where are we going? And he said, I have answered your prayers. I have answered your prayers. You are it. You are the laborers. And he spoke in so many voices. The Indiana Michigan Conference, we were part of Indiana Michigan and Central District Mennonite Conferences, and both conferences were asking, the congregation was asking, our congregation was founded by some missionaries from Canada. And we had a lot of people. They felt the Lord calling them to do something different. And so we kept telling God, it doesn't work like that. Missionaries come from America to Kenya, not the other way around. And he said, ain't it my garden? I can send who I want, where I want. And aren't you the ones who've been praying for me to send laborers? Now you want me to send you elsewhere? So we complained, and I whined, and especially I being a woman, I said, and then the community he sent us to, I said, God, are you serious? Have you forgotten I'm a woman? At that time I didn't know any ordained women. And it didn't make sense to me. And he sent us to a community that Anna knows very well. This would have been where the Ku Klux Klan was very, very comfortable. I knew families whose sons were still in jail for lighting up crosses and bombing houses in our church neighborhood. So this is a community where when I walked the streets, they asked me, have you seen black people in this neighborhood? I said, I have never thought about it. Because where I come from, as a believer, you think in two terms. Are they saved or lost? Are they going to heaven or to hell? Do they know Jesus or they don't? That's the mentality that we have operated in a long time. We didn't think about what language you speak or what color you are. That's the most important thing to us. So literally, I never thought about it. And that man very clearly told me, it's not been too long since we tar and feathered your kind in this neighborhood. Those are his words. And I told him, is that right? Well, Jesus has come. Sometimes he comes in a skirt, sometimes he comes in blue jeans, sometimes he comes in chocolate color, and in any other color he chooses to. You do with him what you want, but what he's going to do here is he's going to love you with every breath in him, no matter how he comes. And we bless God. Somebody pulled a gun on our eldest son just for walking past, you know, the yard in the community. But I am happy to report that community, if you come on Saturday morning especially, we have people from every race, color, language, you name it. We gather together to celebrate Jesus. And this is a community they had tried to work on. They have sociological studies done about that particular community. And we thank God that now, Anna, since you left, there are many people from different races who live in Shedtown and Boxtown. Our God is doing tremendous things, and we give him glory for that. His name is exalted, and we praise him. When we asked him, how are we going to serve you? What are we going to do when people don't come to church? How are we going to reach them? And we are not used to ministry like this. It doesn't matter what you do inside the church, they don't come. Or they come once and then they disappear. They come twice and then they disappear. What are we going to do? And he said, what's their need? And one of the greatest needs in our city is hunger. The economy of our city collapsed a decade before the national economy tanked in 2008. And so hunger is a real issue. And it is getting worse. I think more than 75% of our children are in need of food. And it's getting worse since the MASH stores have closed. One is right next door to us. And we have 1,400 employees out of jobs. Those are families affected. And we have all the vendors who supply to them now don't have an income. And so we know the need to feed the people is going to get more and more. But what the Lord led us to do was not just to prepare a table and feed them food and let them go home. Prepare a table in a way that you open it up for people to sit and to get to know one another, especially because of the historical issues that were in that community. They were not only prejudiced against people of the chocolate persuasion, they didn't want anybody from the north side of town. If you live north of the railroad tracks, they didn't want anything to do with you. And once when we were renovating our building, we were given a place to worship on the north side of town. They would not come. They would not come. But we praise the name of Jesus that He is breaking those barriers. So as we sit around the table, we eat together. We have teams of believers come. And now it's not just our little group that is, you know, weighed heavily with this task. When we started, we didn't know. It's another story how it ended up starting, because we struggled with that. We asked God, you are asking us to feed the hungry in America. We are Africans. Our own people, our own families are hungry. They are asking us to feed them. How do we feed Americans? He said, you take care of my people, I'll take care of your people. And we thank God that many other churches now have come along that have said we'll bring a team to cook on this day. We'll bring a team to cook on this day. And we have 6 or 7 teams now of people who come to prepare the meal and serve. And we are serving anywhere from 80 to 150 people. You don't know how many will come. If we had a bigger building, there would be a whole lot more than that. And I believe, again, the need is going to increase. But they get the gospel preached to them. You can sit and talk about the word of God. If you ask them what the speaker taught 4 weeks ago, they will tell you what they were taught because they are taking it in. And we are seeing transformation in people's lives. And so even if they don't come to church with their offering on Sunday morning, they come to church on Saturday as they remind me. And they are fed the word of God and they are given physical food. We ask God to help us minister to the total person. We bless God for the opportunity to do that because it is a blessing. They have now become my people. When I go to Kenya, I miss home, meaning Muncie, Indiana, and Shedtown in particular. And we thank God. I would like us to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Father, as we go into your word, I pray that you speak to your people. You know them. You know their need. Speak to me, O God, because it is your living word. These ancient words, O God, that introduce us to Jesus Christ and his ways. Lord, let them impart your knowledge and wisdom to your people, I pray this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and I have the New King James with me in case somebody needs the translation, but this kind of makes it easy to understand. And so where they transliterate too much, go back to the old languages and see. So let me read verse 1. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. And so, from verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5 to verse 10, there is a discussion there where Paul is talking about living in this body, which he calls a tent. It is temporary, and I'm dressed like a tent today. It is a temporary house. It is not a permanent house. A time comes when we shall shed this tent. We will leave this body to go and live in our permanent home. That is the home that has foundations that our Father went to prepare for us. And so Paul is talking about some of the discomforts we have. My mother died in June last year. And her last days, she kept praying this prayer, guide me, please guide me. Guide me, please guide me. And she would hold this conversation with heaven where my family would listen to her. I think she was torn. Do I stay for my family? Because she loved her family dearly. And she loved the body of Jesus Christ. She ministered to thousands and thousands of people. Our house was always, always full of people. Even when she died, her house had families living in it. And she raised 12 kids, and we were not enough. She continued raising kids until she died. When she died, there was over 1,500 people at her funeral, and those are just a few that could make it. And for a simple village woman who didn't go anywhere past second grade, she had touched so many lives across the country of Kenya. And we thank God for that. And as her death neared, she is torn. Do I come home to Jesus or do I stay with these people? I love my family. I love the people I serve. I love my church. She was torn. And so she kept asking for guidance. And one day my sister asked her, Mom, do you want to drink some more? She said, I will drink this last time. But Wamboi, I am not drinking anymore. So my sister pleaded with her. She said, if you insist, you can pack it. We'll take it with us. But where we're going, now where the conversation got to be plural, my sister knew things have changed. And then she told some pastors and friends who prayed with her, the way is clear now. And when she said, I will not drink anymore in this world, she lay down and she slept. And she woke up wearing her eternal body, no longer in this tent. She shared the tent. We miss her tremendously, but she's home with the Lord. So from verse 1 to verse 10, that's the conversation. Which is better? Do we, you know, there or here? And as Paul said himself, I have fought the good fight of faith. If I'm going to stay here, I'm going to stay for your sake. If I go, I go to meet my Maker. I have no problem, no issue. And so Paul is saying, understanding that we have a heavenly home. He said in verse 11, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. We work hard to persuade others. We persuade men, as the King James says. Because we know what God has prepared for us, we work hard to persuade people. And then I'm going to skip verse 16. You can read the whole chapter. It's very enlightening. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Since I came to know the Lord, I no longer look at people as just people. When I first came here, when we would go door to door and talk to people, or we would talk to other believers. So we've been to, I don't know how many Mennonite churches, from the East Coast all the way to Iowa. We've been to Oklahoma. I don't know how many places we have been. But let me tell you, and it's not just Mennonite churches. When we visit the communities of believers across this nation, I'm a conference speaker. I get invited to very, very many places. And this is not to boast. This is just to say that I get to meet a variety of believers in the body of Christ. And many of the things that I have heard is they don't want to hear it. If they wanted to hear, there are churches everywhere. If they wanted to hear, after all, we have Christian TV, we have Christian radio, we have bookstores, we have Bibles galore. You know? They just don't want to hear it. But then when we go and talk to people on the street, it's a completely different story, because the version of Christianity they have is what they hear on CNN.
It's what they hear on ABC or NBC. It's what they hear reported about. And you know, they get to hear the controversial things. But they really don't know what it is to have a personal relationship with the living God. This one who has translated us from this life and told us, you don't belong here. This is your temporary home, but you have a permanent home. And Paul said, we have stopped evaluating people from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. We see Christ differently now. You remember when the Jews looked at Jesus, they would dismiss him and say, he's just the son of Mary. Isn't that Mary's boy? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't he the one we see covered with in sawdust? Isn't that so-and-so's sister? Isn't that so-and-so's brother? Isn't he the neighborhood kid? Isn't he this and that? They saw him in human terms. They did not understand him as the transforming redeemer who came to die for us. And when we see other humans just from a human point of view, it's easy to dismiss them. It's them black people. It's those white people. It's those Latinos. It's those illegals. It's those this and that. We can dismiss our neighbors very easily too. But when we start seeing people the way God sees them, and we see the sacrifice that our God made for human beings, then it changes who I am and it changes who you are. This is what Paul said. From verse 17, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. In the King James, it says that those who are in Christ are a new creation. God has worked a new work to give birth to us in a new way. When I came to this country, I was just a Kenyan student. Now I am an American citizen. The government of America gave me citizenship to preach the gospel. We didn't get our citizenship here just to live. We did not intend to live here. Remember, we were kicking and screaming when he called us into ministry. And he said, you're going to doubt me now? Okay, I'm going to show you. And so when they applied for us to have a temporary religious workers visa for 1 year, we were going to test the waters to see, did God really call us here? Because we did not prepare to live in the United States. Our ministry applied for us. Our ministry could not pay a pastor. It still cannot pay a pastor. And yet when they applied, the requirements of the government is that if you're going to sponsor somebody, if you're going to ask somebody, the same applies to a business. If they're going to employ somebody, they have to show if they're a foreigner. You can pay them according to their qualifications. You can pay them according to their experience. You can cover every cost, even things they call miscellaneous. Can you cover them for winter, for their whole family? Can you give them insurance for health and for everything else? So they require an exorbitant amount of money. And this ministry that has nothing depends on donations from other Mennonite churches to survive, applies for us. And the government of the United States, at that time, we did not have the ministries we have now. No. We didn't have the food program. We didn't have the food pantry. We didn't have the clothes pantry. No. So we could say, maybe that's our excuse. Didn't have anything. But the Lord says to work. The government of the United States sent a document to us and said, well, you qualify for this temporary religious visa for 1 year. It's renewable. But you also qualify for a green card. And as a Mennonite church, you know the pain that we have had to deal with when we are thinking about our brothers and sisters who are here illegally or came and overstayed because there was nothing to go back home with. If you came as a student, most of us who came, especially from Africa and other places, we couldn't come in illegally because you have to go through the embassy and you have to cross the ocean to get here. So you came as a student, but maybe overstayed your visa because when you were done with school, you had nothing to go home with. You have no home, sometimes no home to go back to. And so people overstayed. And so, as you know, that's a whole different issue there. But when you don't have that document, it's always an iffy situation. And so when the government of America tells us, we are going to give you a green card, we're going to give you permanent residence, just indicate here. That was God saying, what are you going to say now? When did the government of America start the business of supporting the church? That was our God. That was one of those Gideon things that he did to tell us, I have called you here. There were many other things that he did. We don't have time to talk about today. But when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Now I have the rights. As an American citizen, I can vote. As an American citizen, there are things I can do. Now, when I travel to Europe or Canada or other places, some of my children live in Germany. I don't have to have a visa to go there because I am the privilege of being an American citizen is that I can go there without having to worry about it. I can go to Canada and visit my niece. I can go to Kenya. When I go to Kenya, if I don't have a Kenyan visa, I have to apply for one. So there are privileges of belonging. I have been turned from a Kenyan into an American. Now they are working the other way around. The Kenyans are inviting us back for dual citizenship. Praise God for that. So I don't have to pay for a visa when I go there. But those who are in Christ Jesus are a new, have become a new person. The old life is gone and the new has begun. You who has committed your life to Jesus, you have a history, you have a past. Now you are a new creation. You are not the old person you used to be. And don't take yourself for granted and say, I'm just a Christian. Me, I'm just born again. Me, I just go to Fairhaven Church. I don't have, you know, we are not. And you can look down on yourselves because you are few and say, we're just a little church. We know there are some churches that are growing in the community or in the city, but us, Fairhaven, we're just a little. You are not just. You are not just. Christ has called you into this community and into this city for a purpose. Remember, he started with 12, and he trusted them to change the whole world. So don't look at yourselves from a mere human perspective. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have a citizenship in heaven. And that is why we persuade people. Because I know beyond any doubt at all that God has called me to heaven. He has translated me and he promises to walk with me while I am on this earth. And he promises never to leave me or forsake me. He promises to walk with me through the valleys, as our brother was reading Psalm 18. You can see all the promises of God in that. All the things that God says he will take you through the waters. He will take you through the fire. If you go through this, I'm going to praise him because of his goodness for us. I want others to know that God. But if I look at myself that, oh, here we go again. It's Sunday morning. How many of us? I wonder how many of us are going to be there today. Mm-mm. You are a mighty army for Jesus. Oh, I'm a Mennonite and I can say that. We are a mighty army for Jesus. We are a force to be contended with by the powers of the enemy. Our weapons are not the ones made by human hands to fight people. No. But we fight spiritual forces of darkness. But our mentality has got to change. We have got to stop looking down on ourselves
and thinking everybody else is like us. If somebody out there does not know Jesus, my sister, my brother, they are in a pathetic situation. I want you to imagine, I have this message that really encourages me because I love watching butterflies, especially monarch butterflies. They really impress me. And I am one of those people. As a little girl, I hated caterpillars. In my hometown, there were lots of caterpillars. And especially in the dry season, there would be some that would join one another tail to tail, and they could be as wide as this building is when they are like that. And they used to scare me to death. We had others that were really, really big, that were on trees that hung over our house, and they would scare me. But I didn't realize at the time that every butterfly has to start as a caterpillar. But it undergoes a transformation when it goes into that cocoon and it wraps itself and is dormant for a while. When it is dormant for a while, then it will break out of that cocoon with wings colored so beautifully. So beautifully, to imagine that that ugly caterpillar is what makes this beautiful butterfly that can fly, if it's a monarch, from Canada to Mexico every year. And their babies and their grandbabies will make the same trip. And the beauty of the butterflies, one of the things that tells me there is a God. You have to be touched in the head not to see God. When you see the beauty of God's creation, tell me that happened by chance. If somebody painted a butterfly and you came and told somebody, said, oh, that just happened to be. That wall was sitting there. That board was sitting there all the time. Or that paper has been on that wall for a long time. And with time, that appeared. People look at you and say, huh? Something wrong with your coconut? And you can look at God's creation. Look at that transformation. And believe that it happened by chance? Not a chance. Our God has transformed us from that mere human being into a creation of God, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he's telling us, you left many other caterpillars out in the world. They stay on the ground or they stay on the tree. They cannot go very far. But once that transformation happens, they can fly for miles, for thousands of miles. Christ has given us wings. We can go and spread his love now. We no longer have to fight over the things we used to fight over when we were merely humans in the world. We no longer have to agonize about the issues that used to weigh us down, because we have a Savior who says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. I am meek and lowly. I'm humble of heart. Be yoked with me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. And you will find rest for your souls. You and I have found rest if we are in Christ Jesus. They don't have that rest in the world. I watch them daily. I don't know whether there is a time we go through a month when we're not dealing with somebody who is suicidal in our community. And I've realized it's not just among the poorest of the poor. No. There are many people with everything, but their lives still feel meaningless. As Solomon said, it's like chasing after the wind. They get this, they're still empty. They get that, they're still empty. Mere human beings, caterpillars, still crawling on the ground and eating whatever is nearby. When Christ offers us transformation, and he's offering it to the world through you. What else does he say? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new has begun.
And all this is a gift from God. It's not from anything I did. It's not from some religious rituals. Mm-mm. This is the working of God. This is a gift from God who brought us back to himself, or who reconciled us to himself through Christ. You have been reconciled with God. You have been brought back home. You were prodigal. You ran away from home. Isaiah 53:6 says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But God has laid on Christ Jesus all our iniquities. We have been redeemed. We have been bought back from the marketplace of sin. You and I are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is a gift from God. And it is him who brought us back to himself. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. See, God himself does the work. He redeems us. He draws us back to himself. And then he sends us back into the world. He has given us the task. The ministry of reconciliation is from God to you and me. And he says, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This does not mean that the whole world is forgiven. It means that forgiveness has been offered. Reconciliation has been offered. But if somebody chooses to remain prodigal in the wastelands, they will remain there. But the reconciliation to God has been made available through Christ Jesus. He has paid the price. And when they come to him, they can also become a new creation in him. And so he says this: for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. When was the last people your neighbors had that message? You know, we have people who invite people to church. And some of them, when they remember what church was, whatever church they attended, some of them have horror stories about some church they attended. That's the reason we don't go. I stayed away from church for 7 years. Why? Because there are hypocrites in the church. And I give that excuse for years and years. I don't want to be like them hypocrites. And then God asks me, who is closer to me? You or the hypocrites? If they are standing between you and God and me, who is closer? And I said, Never thought about it that way. But people have had horrendous experiences, religious experiences. Who knows who met them? But then when we tell them, we are not just inviting you to church. You can go to church when you are reconciled to your God. But God is inviting you back. Your daddy, your father, your heavenly father is inviting you back to him. The one who has prepared a better life than the one we live in, he will be with you through this life. And he has prepared a place for you for eternity. Many of the excuses they use are because of the things that happen in this world. And forget that this is not our permanent home. But some of them don't know that this is not our permanent home. The discomforts of this world just help you to remember that this is not home. This is temporary. One day you're going to go home. And he says, he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So he reconciled you to himself. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation himself. And he has given us the message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. You are Christ's ambassador. I am Christ's ambassador. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God reconciled you and I. Then he gave you the ministry of reconciliation. He gave you the message to tell the world. Are we telling the world that God has come to reconcile us to himself? To bring those of us who ran away, every one of us ran away from our Father. From Adam and Eve. And God is inviting us back to himself. And you and I, those of us who are no longer caterpillars, but we have been made into butterflies. Jesus said, now go. He said, go into the whole world and preach the good news to all creation. Go. Because he gave you wings. The Holy Spirit. And he says, when we feel like we are weak, you call on him and ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when he fills us with the Holy Spirit, as he did in the book of Acts, he gives us boldness and strength to proclaim his grace to the people. So, I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that you are an ambassador. Do you see why I was telling you, don't just look at yourself and say, oh, I'm just so and so. We're just a little church. We don't really count much. You are an ambassador. When I go to Kenya, I'm supposed to go to the embassy because that's my home. The American embassy is my home when I am in Kenya. So I am supposed to report to them when I get there. Should there be trouble when I am in Kenya, they will come looking for me, and they require that I tell them everywhere, if I move, if I go to another place, so that they know where their people are. The same applies to you. Wherever you go in the world, if there's an American embassy, report to them. Because that is your safe place. That is your place of safety, and that is your home. They will come looking for you. When I was just a permanent resident, and our children who were born in the States would go home with me, we would go to the embassy and report. And there was trouble. Sometimes there's trouble when we have elections in Kenya. We have trouble, and we have elections coming next month. So they would tell us, we want to know where our children are all the time. I went one year with our oldest son. He was 3 years old. And they told me, do you see this handsome boy? That's our boy. He's an American citizen. He belongs to us. And we don't care what your government does to you. But we want you to take good care of this boy. We want to know where he is at any time. Because should anything happen, should war break out, we will come looking for our son. I said, what am I, chop liver? I carried this baby in my womb. Said, we don't care. He is an American citizen. And you are not. I said, oh, make such a big difference. And the ambassador is the chief kahuna at the embassy. And Jesus has made you his ambassador. That's a whole other topic we could talk about. What you as an ambassador are supposed to do. But you represent Christ, and the chief message is to make Jesus look good. And you can't go and sit in the embassy and say, okay, I represent my country. You have to do things to make your country look good. You go and speak to people to come and invest in your country. You go and represent. If you go to the embassy, you will find it decorated with you. When you walk in, you see America. You see the eagle. You see the American flag. You see, if you go to the embassy and find Kenyan things as beautiful as they are, something is wrong with that place. Because it's supposed to show the people of that country what America is like. And so you as an ambassador, you are the voice of God in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You are the voice of God in this community or whatever community you live in. And God is inviting you to go and invite others. Persuade them. Talk to them. Let them know the benefits you have experienced by being a child of God. Let them know what God can do for them. Let them know that this life is temporary. One day we are going to shed this body. We're going to shed this tent. And we are going to wear a permanent body. And we will never hurt anymore. We will never cry anymore. The things we suffer in this world are temporary. And yet even when we suffer the temporary things, He has promised to be with us no matter what. What a life. God bless you. I've gone way past my time. Way past my time. But may God bless you. And I pray for His power and strength. Don't look at yourselves as mere human beings anymore, okay? You are blessed by God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you because you have called each one of them to be an ambassador, young and old. You have appointed them yourself. You have given them a ministry. You have given them a message. And you have given them the Holy Spirit to empower them, to give them wings, to give them the energy, to give them the boldness to be your witness in this community, Jehovah God. I pray that the fruit of their labor, oh my God, will be a great harvest in this community, dear Father. Let their family members, let their neighbors, let the people they work with, let their grandchildren, let their great-grandchildren, let everybody around them know this love that we have been loved with by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the good work you have started at Fairhaven Mennonite Church, my Father. You will complete this work because you are the Alpha and the Omega, O Jehovah God. I thank you that this ministry did not start in vain. God, the gates of hell will not prevail against your work. And we believe that God will do a good work, O my God, of bringing many to yourself, dear Father. I thank you for these faithful ones, oh God, and I pray for your blessing on each one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you.